Last November, our newsroom got an email from a guy in Manchester who said he wanted to share his story of spice addiction. He wrote, "It was not long for the culture of spice within the city to suck my soul into the black hole." And then,
Monday, March 2nd,
a couple months later,
time, 5,
I got this message.
8 a.m.
Just wanted to let you know, I'm at the emergency room at Catholic Medical Center. I actually had to be treated for frostbite, and so I why don't you come by and see me right away? I am more than happy to talk to you.
By the time I met Cameron, and he asked us not to use his last name in this story, he had been involuntarily admitted to a psych unit.
Yes, we're at the New Hampshire Hospital here in Concord, and why we're here? Well, we're conducting an interview today. Why am I here? I'm here because I am getting treated for my bipolar disorder along with psychosis.
On one hand, Cameron seemed manic when we spoke, like his mouth was racing to keep up with his mind. But on the other hand, he had a lot of self-awareness. He knew he was here because smoking spice had thrown him into psychosis, essentially a bad trip he couldn't escape from.
I had been up for far too long, an episode of mania, my bipolar disorder, untreated at the time, and I was smoking the spice to try to bring myself back down and fall asleep, and went into shock and had a seizure. And it was pretty violent. It happened while I was at work.
How many seizures have you had since then?
As far as I know, 2, maybe 3.
Synthetic marijuana, spice, K2, this stuff is not marijuana. The high is similar, but spice is considered way more dangerous. Like marijuana, synthetic cannabinoids stimulate receptors all over the brain. But unlike marijuana, sometimes the body can't deactivate spice. The liver breaks the drug down, but in some people, those broken down bits keep circulating in the blood, stimulating the brain, making them high, or psychotic. Spice hit the U.S. market in 2008, and by 2013, 14% of New Hampshire teens had used it. Even before he started buying spice from convenience stores in Manchester while homeless 2 years ago, Cameron had become too comfortable with over-the-counter drugs. During his freshman year at Georgia Tech, he landed 9 felony charges for making drugs in his dorm room. He was isolating dextromethorphan. That's the active ingredient in cough syrup that can make you high.
I was a bit shocked and even irate.
This is Cameron's dad, David.
He was really working hard to do chemistry and to extract compound. And it's just like, oh my God, he's putting his technical brains into this. You know, to me, it just kind of struck me then as I, what a big problem he's got.
David has seen his son through the worst of his addiction and mental illness. But on March 2nd, the day Cameron left me and apparently lots of other folks a voicemail from the emergency room, his son wound up in restraints.
He was telling us that he believed that this was all kind of like a reality TV show.
Dr. Lisa Missler oversaw Cameron's care when he was transferred to the state hospital.
And he engaged in some unusual behaviors as well. I noticed on the unit he was wearing multiple hats. He did have an irritable mood and with some sort of maybe what we call hypomanic mood, kind of, running on a motor.
Cameron's team at New Hampshire Hospital concluded he likely had an underlying mental illness, probably bipolar disorder, but that bipolar disorder never before made him delusional. That they attributed most likely to the drugs.
He said he used spice. I think at one point his quote was for, thousands of hours.
Hospitals around the country are grappling with overdoses from spice. In one recent week in New York City, there were 120 ER visits because of synthetics and 300 ER visits over 1 month in Alabama and Mississippi. Last year in New Hampshire, there were 44 overdoses in 72 hours. And that gets to another reason this drug is so dangerous. There's zero quality control. 2 bags of the same brand of spice could have wildly different concentrations of drugs. That's because amateur chemists simply douse chemicals onto plant matter, and that could be weeds from a backyard. Sometimes this happens in China, and sometimes closer to home. Former U.S. Attorney for New Hampshire John Kakavas helped oversee the prosecution of 2 men who manufactured spice.
These chemicals were being mixed in a barn in Epping. We have a photo of a 55-gallon drum, the exterior of which is caked with residue of AB fubinaca. It's disgusting.
AB fubinaca is a synthetic cannabinoid originally created by the drug company Pfizer.
The AB fubinaca is then mixed with this inert organic leaf material in cement mixers. They would then would take that mixture and spray that material with acetone. Acetone was being used as a drying agent, and acetone is commonly found in things like fingernail polish.
Then it was packaged in baggies with flashy labels and sold in stores around the state, cheaper per gram than marijuana. Now, it's harder to get spice today in New Hampshire than it was a year ago. The governor says she's likely to sign a bill that would give the state broad authority to crack down on the possession, sale, and consumption of synthetics. But several cities have already banned it, and former U.S. Attorney Kakavas says law enforcement and public education
really put a dent in the manufacturing and distribution of these toxic substances and took this stuff off the street and promoted public health and safety.
Off the street, but not off the web, where Cameron continued to buy it after he couldn't find it in stores. And so long as backyard chemists can tweak molecules, more dangerous psychosis-inducing drugs are on the way. One called Flacca caused a Florida man to try to kick down the door of a police station. Cameron, though, has turned a corner.
A lot's changed. So I've been discharged, no longer experiencing the daily psychosis that got me in the hospital.
Cameron's in a group home in Dover, but he's trying to move to another one in Manchester, the city where his spice addiction was at its worst. He wants to go back to college.
Whether along the way that involves a relapse, I can't say for sure. I certainly hope not. But I know that if I pick up spice again, that's going to come between me and my aspirations.
Perhaps that's the best assurance a recovering addict can hope for. For NHPR News, I'm Jack Rodolico.